Hey, man, if you would take your Bible and turn me to the book of Luke, chapter number 15, the book of Luke, chapter number 15. Daddy may have given me my name, but I promise you, God was the only one that could call me to preach. Amen. I was a mess, but thank God for it. The book of Luke, chapter number 15. We'll begin by reading verses 11 through 13. Book of Luke, chapter number 15. The Bible says in verse number 11, it says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living." You may be seated. We'll go to the Lord, a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for the privilege and opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we're thankful for your presence in here this morning. And Lord, you know the need of each and every individual here. And God, you said without you we can do nothing. And God, we need a help and we need a touch from you. And God, it's not of us, but Lord, it's of you. And God, I pray that you would have your will in your perfect way, and Lord, we commit this service unto you, for it's in Jesus' name, amen. As we look in the book of Luke, chapter number 15, we find that Jesus had sat down with the publicans and the sinners and the Pharisees, and he was giving them parables. First, he gave them the parable of the lost sheep, the shepherd that lost the one sheep, and said he left the 99 and went into the wilderness and searched for the one. We find the next was the woman that had lost her coin, her piece of silver, and she tore her house apart. She swept until she found it and she rejoiced. But those were objects and things. We find in this third parable that this was a man that had lost his child, whose child left him and went into a far country. In verse number 11, it says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons." Now let this be noted that there's only two types of children. Amen. Amen. Good. Amen. And if you like me, bad. I was a bad child. There's only two decisions that a man or a woman can make, either the right decision or a wrong decision. There's only one thing you can be. You can be of the Lord Jesus Christ, of your heavenly Father, or you are of your father, the devil. Amen. Certain man had two sons, and it says, "And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." We find that this younger son, he lacked respect. He had no respect toward his father. He had lacked respect toward authority in his life. Amen. And when people start to run into trouble, especially in this younger generation, this generation has been raised without respect of God. Amen. They've been raised without respect of sin, of authority, of the preacher. They have been taught to mock, to mimic, that there is no absolutes, that you do what you please, that you live and you die only to yourself. This world owes you everything. Amen. That is a lie straight from the devil himself. This world owes you nothing. God himself owes you nothing. He was more concerned about his rights than he was his responsibilities. Amen. Amen. The generation that we lived into today, God owes them everything. They take up his breath. They take up his world. He has given them life. They have taken what belongs to God. Said, "God, you owe me. I'm going to live unto myself. I'm going to do what I want to do. I do not care about you or anybody else. I'm going to be my own person." That's the generation that we lived into. This was the attitude of this younger son. He didn't ask his father. He demanded of his father. He said, "Father, give me." He was ungrateful. He was unthankful. He was entitled. He said, "Well, God owes me. God owes me this. I deserve this. God has to give me this." Let me tell you this, friend. We deserve nothing from God. Amen. God owes us nothing. We have no rights. Everything that God has given us is a privilege. Amen. If God give us what we deserve, every one of us would be in hell. Amen. But yet it was the mercies of God that kept us out. Here he was, Father, give me. Now this is a fearful place to be. You listen here. You push against God. You fight against God. You say, God, I want to get out. I want to do what I want to do. I want to get away from you. I want to go, go, go. You push, you fight, you kick. You say, this is what I want. The scariest thing that God can ever say to a person is, go ahead. Go your way. Do what you want to do. The Father said, and he divided unto them his living. Young person, you sitting on the edge. You sitting there at the Father's house. You're sitting there thinking, boy, I'd love to get away. I'd love to do what I want to do. I'd love to plunge myself as far as I can into sin. I would love to get away from this place. I would love to exercise my rights. I would love to be free to do whatever I want to do. Let me plead with you. This elder brother, he never left the house. You can stop right there. You don't have to go live in sin. Amen. The best thing to do is to abstain from evil and wickedness, but there are some that will learn no other way, is the saddened part. He sat there, I am going to do what I want to do. Father, give it to me. And let me tell you this, if God ever says to you, here you go, it's yours, do what you want to, you are in a mess. You are headed down a hard road. You are headed down a road of heartache. You are headed down a road of sorrow and of pain. The world paints it up as a picture of glory. If you live apart from the Father, if you live in the land of sin, you will have it made. I imagine that this boy, this younger son, battle started in his mind. Amen. You get things put into your mind. The world is set against God. Public school systems, the things that they teach, everything is geared pointing a person away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not let that deter you. Do not let that get in your mind. You must fight in your mind, because once you let it take seat and it takes hold in your heart, it is hard to get rid of. Amen. Sitting there thinking, my Father, I know he's got all this stuff, but I want to be my own person. I want to go. I want to leave this place. I want to get away from this man. It says, and he divided unto them his living. We look in the Bible, and you look in not only the Bible, but in history, but it was when they divided the living, there was two sons. The elder son received 2/3, and the younger received 1/3. He would have paid off a lot more if he would have stayed at the house, but there he was. He received part of his inheritance, and he left. Let it be noted that not only did he receive money, but he received every portion of his inheritance, his land, the things that his fathers left to him. Verse 13, it says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. How many has started out just a little? A little here, a little there, a little fornication, a little drink, a little drug, a little, I'll control it at first, I will have control. But then before you know it, he took all and went his way. Let me tell you this, the devil's not after part of you. He's not going to take part of your soul to hell. He's going to take every bit of you. He ain't after a piece of you. God or the devil, neither one, just wants part of you or a piece of you. They want every bit of you. They want you all. Amen. If the devil ever gets a hold of you, he is going to take you as far as he can. He will not take some, but he will take all that you have. As we go, he says in verse 13, it says, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Wasted, that's the idea here, is to scatter abroad, to spread freely. And his substance, it's not only his money, but everything, special things that his father had given him, heirlooms, things of that nature, he took and he spread his substance with riotous living. The idea of riotous is saving, sparing nothing, giving it all. How many times do you see people that give everything that they have to sin? You can't get them to darken the doors of a church on a Sunday morning, but they'll have no trouble at all, staying out drunk and partying all weekend and giving everything they got to the devil, every last dime, but somehow it's too hard to come back and give to the Father that had given them everything. Amen. There he was, devoured on riotous living. It says in verse number 14, notice this, and when he had spent all there, arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Bible says that there is pleasure in sin for a season, for a short time, for an amount of time. He found pleasure. He had friends. He had wine, women, song, anything that he wanted, he had at his fingertips. He had money. He had power. He had clout among his friends. Do you know what it took from him? It says he took all. He had spent all and began to be in want. You may say, I'm enjoying my sin. I'm enjoying where I'm at. You may enjoy it for a little while, but there's going to come a day when you're empty. You've lost your peace. You've lost your joy. You have nothing else to live for. Is that where you are in life? Are you so far away from the Father? Are you separated from God? There is no greater peace than being with him. I do not know how a lost man makes it in this world, fighting through the sorrows and the burdens and the troubles of sin. Sin is heavy. Sin is burdensome. It left him wanting and dying inside his heart. Sinner, are you dying in sin? Are you beginning to be empty? Does that sin that once filled your heart and gave you pleasure, is it losing its effect in your soul?
Yes.
Are you beginning to be in want? There is some that will not come to Christ until they have reached the end of the rope. He hadn't reached the end yet. He's just getting started. There's a whole lot more to be said about his hardships and his sorrows than there is his short time of pleasure with his inheritance. It says, and when he'd spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. That idea of he went and joined himself was the same idea as he went and enslaved himself to a citizen of this country that he could even farther fulfill his pleasures. He'd spent all his money. He was broke. He didn't have a dime to his name. And the only way he could get more pleasure is to completely join himself, enslave himself to a citizen of that country. There is no limit physically to the depths of sin that a man can sink except for the grace of God and death. You say, my flesh don't stink, I'm not wicked. You go, don't take a shower for a week. Hey, man, tell me that flesh ain't rotten. You go out and you look, you see the man on the street that's staggering down the road out of his mind, mumbling things out of his head, burning himself out on drugs and anything else he can find. You say, well, I'll never go that far. You don't know that. I'll never sink that low. That's not a promise. There is no limit but the grace of God to how far a man can sink in the depths of sin.
Amen.
He was so desperate that he linked up, he enslaved himself. You know, sin, the devil will put it on as, you've got the will. You're in control of this. You're not going to go too far, just a little here and a little there, a little pressure, a little wine, a little joy, a little drink, and you'll be okay. Then you look and the next thing you know, sinner friend, you are enslaved to sin. You have no choice but to get up, to desire, to look, to follow after the things of this world. Amen. He enslaved himself to this man. Joined himself, and you know what he do? And we know what he did, that man that he joined himself to. He didn't feed him. He didn't take care of him. Didn't say that he ushered him in and helped him. It said no. Says, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Man. Now, in Jewish culture, at that time, pigs was a no-no. That was a filthy, unclean animal. And has anybody ever raised pigs, been around pigs? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's one of the nastiest stinking animals. You can smell them before you can see them. Amen. Yeah. There he was. He fed him into the field to feed his swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I don't like pigs. I like bacon. I like the thing pigs make. But I do not like to raise pigs or be around them. Granddaddy used to have them, and I had to go feed them. And I would smell like pig. I would wash my hands. I don't know how many times. And I could not get that smell off of me. Terrible. I'd be gagging. I couldn't hardly eat anything. But this man sent him into the field to feed his swine, to take care of his pigs. And the Bible says that he would have fain filled his belly with the husk. That word fain, that is the idea of you would eat it, but not under normal circumstances. Amen. I wouldn't eat husks under normal circumstances unless things were really bad. Amen. And there he was. He was so desperate in his soul that he would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. He didn't. He would have. He was so desperate and so hungry, he could not find what nourished and pleased his soul in that land. You will never find what you are really looking for in sin. You will never find peace in sin. You will never find the simple things of joy in sin. He just wanted to enjoy a meal. He just wanted to enjoy something, but he could not enjoy anything because it had taken everything that he had. Not only did it take his inheritance, not only did it take his riches, his possessions, but it took his joy. It took his peace. It took anything that he could get out of life and enjoy. It had faded away. Let me ask you this. Are you miserable? Are you tired of living? Are you disgusted with life? Are you in the same situation as this younger son? You have no joy. You have no peace. You don't have anything that wakes you up in the morning. No joy. You're just mumbling through life, miserable, unhappy, searching for what will give you joy. You won't find it in the dollar. You won't find it in pleasure. Boy, here he is sitting thinking, what have I done? No man giveth unto me. Why am I here? And I know what you're thinking. Go back to daddy. Go back to the father. He hadn't gotten there. He hadn't got there yet. He said he would fain fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. Verse 17, it says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Verse number 18, it says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Yeah. Now, in these verses we just read, he hadn't made any action yet. He's thinking in his mind. And has anybody ever been in trouble with daddy? And he found out before you got home and you knew he knew? That's not a good feeling. That's bad. He's sitting there thinking, boy, I know my daddy knows what I'm doing. I know my father knows where I am and what I've been doing, but boy, he has servants that are living better than I am. Amen. A servant for the Father is a whole lot better off than being a slave to sin.
Amen.
Amen. Right. He's thinking in his mind, if I can get there, he has bread enough to spare. I'm starving. I've lost everything. I'm miserable. If I can just get back to the Father, I will be okay. I find it something here, he says he hath bread enough to spare. And does the Bible not tell us that he is the bread of life?
Amen.
He that cometh to me shall never, what? Hunger.
Amen.
He'll be filled. If I can get back to the Father, if I can go to the Father, I will find what I have been missing this entire time. I will be able to have what I cannot get living in sin.
Right.
Amen. When he came to himself, said, I sit here and I perish of hunger. He says, I will arise, go to my father's house, for I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He hadn't made an action yet. This is all in his mind. Let me say this. You can be in sin. You can be miserable. You can be lost and on your way to hell. You can be separated from the Father. And you can think about coming back all you want. Well, I need to start doing better. I need to get back going to church a little more. I need to do this. I need to do that. If that's all you do is say, well, I know I need to. And you never make any action. You're still in the same place you were before you started thinking. Amen. It took action for him to get back to the Father. It is going to take action for you to get away from sin, from the devil, from the things of this world. It takes not only a thought, but it takes an action. His attitude was beginning to soften and to change. He had a repentant heart. Before he left the house, what was he saying? This, I, me, mine belongs to me. And here he's reached the bottom. He said, man, I'll go to my father and say, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now, verse number 20. This is a real pivot point here. This is what gets us turned around, gets this boy turned around. It says, first three words of verse number 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Praise God. He was sitting there and he was thinking in his mind. He'd made no action. Lord, I know I need to. If I go back to my father, what's going to happen? You know what the devil will put in your mind? God don't love you. He'll never take you. The Heavenly Father's seen all that you've done. He wants nothing to do with you. You're a bad person. Spurgeon was preaching and a man came up and talked to him. He said, I don't know if there's any help for me. I'm a bad person. I've done some terrible things. And Spurgeon said to him, he said, no, you're not just bad. You're worse than that. You're worse than you think you are. Amen. You just don't know how bad you are. Amen. You think you're bad. No, you're worse than bad. You're worse than you think you are. Amen. That wasn't a concern to the Father. Amen. Father knew where he'd been. The Father was there. He arose and came to the Father. The devil will put in your mind, he will not take you. You've done too much. You're a bad person. The Bible says it. Well, how many have sinned? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Amen. There's none that deserveth repentance. There's none that deserves the love of the Father. But praise God, there's a difference in the love of an earthly father and a heavenly father. Amen. He sees past you. He sees past your sin. And he opens his arms. That father, he was glad that the son was coming back to his house. He said, and the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Believe when the son came back to the father, he wasn't smelling too good. He still smelled like hog lot. Still smelled like a pigsty. Did that matter to the father? No. He came, he ran, he embraced him, he kissed him. He had waited for a long time for this, his son, to come home to him. He was waiting and he was watching. Hey, how long will you stay in your misery? How long will you stay in your sin when the Heavenly Father is looking and watching, ready to take his son into his house? Amen. He came to him stinking. He fell on his neck. He kissed him. Verse 21 says, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. If you're going to come to the Father, come humbly. Come in repentance. The Bible says that God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Amen. He was humble. He came before him. He said, Father, I've sinned. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. He thought this out in his mind the whole way. And you know what the father said? He didn't even acknowledge him. He said, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Amen. The father did not leave him in the same state that he came in. Amen. Man, it doesn't matter how you come to the Father, but he's not going to leave you there. Amen.
Right.
Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You may come to the Father stinking and miserable, full of sin, but he's not going to leave you there. Amen. He will deliver you. He will clean you up. He changed his attire. He changed everything about him. He put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. In verse 23, it says, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. As the Bible say, it says, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. You know what it brought to the Father to have his son return home? Praise God, it brought him joy. It brought him happiness. It brought him, he was merry. He was excited that one had come into him. You say, I'm struggling. What for? Salvation's not a complicated thing. Returning to the Father is not a complicated thing. Amen. All you have to do is come to him. Boy, he made merry.
Amen.
Rejoicing over what God do in your soul. There he was. Bring hither the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Can you see this going on? Can you imagine your child gone? I don't know how long this boy was gone, but he was gone for a while. He'd ruined his life. He'd wasted everything he had, but he came home. Father took him in. Can you see what's going on? This is my kind of place. They're having a barbecue. They barbecued a whole calf. Hey, man. That's good eating. They was having dance. They was singing. They was having a good time. They were celebrating. They were joyous. I see in verse 25, it says, and his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Now, before we go any farther, I always try and see both sides of the picture. Amen. Now, we know what's fixing to happen. He's fixing to get a little upset. But where was he? He wasn't a lazy man. He was out in the field working. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was about the Father's business. He was taking care of things. Can you see a little bit?
Yeah.
He might be a little bit upset. Now, I'm not perfect. If I put myself in his shoes, I might have been the same way. But there he was. He was hearing all this. What is this? And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never givest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine.
Amen.
It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
Amen.
You know, if this were some fairy tale story in the book, they would have cut it off at the end when the father rejoiced when the son came home. But this is the Bible. It's got some reality in it. Amen.
Amen.
He was upset. He was angered because he's celebrating. He said, Father, why are you rejoicing over this? He's wasted your inheritance. He's wasted everything you've given him. And here I have. Listen to what he's saying. I have been here. I have worked for you. I have done this. And you never gave me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. He got upset. He got self-centered over the rejoicing of the son that had come home and his father. Have you ever had your father say something to you in a normal tone of voice? You know you're not aggravated at each other, but whenever he says it, you know that, boy, ain't nothing I need to say after that. He done got her took care of. Hey, man, you know what I'm talking about. There he was. He said, son, we're making merry. You have what I've given to you. You'll always be with me. Everything that I have is yours. But your brother, he has wasted his life.
Yep.
He has wasted everything that he has. We're going to make merry for him. He's going to have a hard road ahead of him.
Amen.
You may live in sin. You may live for the world, but you know what you're going to get while you're there? You're going to get some scars. You're going to get some heartaches. You're going to get some things that cannot be removed from your memory. You're going to get some things that you'll never be able to forget about, that you'll have to fight with the rest of your life. Yes, God will forgive you. He will cleanse you of your sin. But you will always have those memories and those scars. Do not indulge yourself in sin. Have you ever had anybody give you any advice? I wouldn't do that if I were you. We'll say, well, you've done it. That's why I'm telling you not to do it. Amen. So you won't have to live with the same mistakes and the same scars that I will. Amen. Young person, you would be a whole lot better off staying away from things that will hurt you and staying with the Father's house and staying with the Lord, and you would be running away and living in this world of sin. Now, as we close, let me leave you with this thought. Where are you? Are you lost? Are you one breath away from going into eternity without God? And that land that he went to, that when he went far away from the Father, whenever you get away from the Father, whenever you're living out, you're never promised or guaranteed a road out. Amen. There's so many in the Bible that never made their way out of sin, never made their way out to the Savior. Amen. Though they had heard time and time again. How many times will you hear? How many times will you tempt the grace of God? How many times will you put him off? If you're lost without God, amen, come to him.
Yes.
Be saved.
Yes.
Now's the time. Today's the day of salvation.
Yes.
Child of God, do you belong to the Father? Have you gotten away from the Father? Are you cold and indifferent in your heart? Are you living in sin? Are you not as close as you were? The call's coming. Come unto me, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Whatever you need. I don't know where you're at, but that's the blessed thing. I don't have to know. The Lord knows. He knows where you are. And if you need help, it's not in me. It's not in another man, but it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's all stand.